This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Visit audibletrial.com/CSR to download your free audiobook. Again, that's audibletrial.com/CSR for a free audiobook.
And by The Country Squire. Visit thecountrysquireonline.com to discover custom pipes, handcrafted blends, and unparalleled customer service. TheCountrySquireOnline.com.
We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm Timothy.
Hey, Tim.
Bo.
Tim the intern, man. How are you doing this morning?
I'm well, man. It's good to see you.
Dude, it's good to see you, too. It's been a while.
It has been.
In fact, the last time you were in the studio was actually for our Christmas extravaganza where you...
I was ambushed.
Well, you weren't ambushed.
No. Somewhat.
I told you we were doing a very special Christmas thing, and I asked you if you could sing. I feel like
I'm not going to give you like the benefit of the doubt on this one.
Fair enough. Well, you did wonderful. I think it's safe to say that yours was one of the better voices that was on the...
Man, I couldn't deal with it. Like, I listened to the point where I started, and I was like, I'm done. I'm checking out. I can't do this.
Oh, your best part came in on verse 8. Oh,
I hate that I missed that.
Yeah, oh, it's so good. I'm going to play it for you before you leave. You don't have a choice. Well, man, welcome into the studio yet again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I hope you don't mind. Right now, we have a new member of the Podasteri team here. His name is Gibbs. He's a rat terrier mix, and unfortunately... he's too young to know that he's not supposed to be in the studio right now.
No, so I love it.
We're working on that.
It adds to the feel of the show.
I know, right? I think it's a positive thing if we've got a dog running around the place. So I want to go ahead and let everybody know, last week we talked about some of our pipe smoking heroes, JD and I, and we talked about Professor Xavier of the X-Men.
Okay.
And we talked about William Faulkner. Mm-hmm. And there was a little bit of a question as to whether or not William Faulkner actually lived in New Orleans. There's a library in the French Quarter called Faulkner House.
Okay.
In fact, Faulkner did live in New Orleans. Listener Toby from New Orleans wrote into the show and actually sent in an article from NOLA.com. We put that up on the Facebook page. You can find it there. And it kind of gives a little bit of history of Faulkner House and then also Faulkner's time in New Orleans. He wasn't a long-time resident there, but he did live there for a while. So pretty cool. He also let me know about the New Orleans Pipe Club. It's the New Orleans Pipe and Tobacco Club. We'll be having a meeting on February 12th from 6 to 9 at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Veterans Boulevard in Metro-Nice. So anyone is welcome to attend. If you're in that area, if you're in kind of the South Mississippi, South Louisiana area, or really just anywhere and want to make a trek down to New Orleans to join up with the Pipe Club, please do. Let them know you heard about it on Country Squire Radio. And y'all have a lot of fun. I wish I could pop into that.
There you go.
Dude, I love New Orleans.
Really?
Yeah, man. It's like my home away from home.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
We used to, back before the kid, we used to go down every single month. Like, we had a goal of going every single month.
Okay.
And the thing is, we still have that goal. We just, you know.
Yeah, we did know.
Yeah, it's just a very rare
Bourbon Street thing. Isn't the same with a child.
Man, Bourbon Street is not the place to go in New Orleans. One way or the other.
Absolutely not.
No, it really isn't. Like, we went this last past Christmas. I took my in-laws down, and they're from Michigan. They'd never actually been to New Orleans. So we did take them to Bourbon Street to get some oysters because, you got to do some of those little touristy things if it's your first time.
No doubt.
Dude, but no, if you're going down to New Orleans, anybody who knows that area knows you got to be on Frenchman. Don't even waste your time on Bourbon. I mean, go and take a picture if you want to, but... leave Bourbon, head over to Frenchman. That's where the good music is. That's where the good bars and clubs are. Anybody who's listening to this from the New Orleans Pipe and Tobacco Club, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. So,
noted.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anytime you go to New Orleans, you let me know because I will hook you up with the spots, dude.
I will.
Dude, there are. This is great. There are restaurants that, because we went so often, they all know us by name whenever we go down.
The York clan.
Dude, yeah. Like, we can... We could bypass the wait at certain places.
Well, look at you,
dude! It was great. It was back one of the last times we went before we had the baby. The maitre d' called me over. He's like, "Hey, Mr. York, you know what? Y'all are here all the time. We like to take care of locals. Just call me ahead next time, and you won't have to wait." And I was like, "Oh man, well, first of all, we're not locals." He's like, right. "Well, you're here enough."
I was like,
"Well,
you told him that, okay?"
I said, "And second of all, we love waiting here. You know, it's kind of part of the atmosphere." And he's like, "All right, well, I'll cut your time in half." And I was like, "Okay, all right, I'm not going to argue with that."
You're such clout, Mr. York.
I'm telling you, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. All right. Well, we put it out on Facebook and on the Twitter and on the email and on the show. This week, we are talking about pipe stories. You know, the pipe is a really wonderful heirloom-esque item that really has some longevity to it. Every single pipe has a story to it. And for many of us, we might have a pipe that has kind of a history that, was passed on to us, or we might have pipes that we are starting to create a history for. And so we wanted to kind of open that up to the listeners. I'm actually surprised we didn't get as many in as I thought we would, but we did get some in, and I'm very grateful and excited to dive into those. Before we do, Tim, tell me a little bit about your pipe story.
Yeah, I, like every other pipe smoker, definitely have a pipe story. But I started smoking in college. Just me and some guys would go out to the brick streets of Clinton and...
Oh, that's right. You were at Mississippi College.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we would think that it would make us classier, maybe a little... more pretentious, maybe a little better than everyone else.
Yeah.
But we and very few of us actually had a pipe. It was pretty much like people we know had pipes and we would borrow them and still try to be cool. And then I walk into the country squire one day and John David does his thing where somebody walks in not wanting to spend money and they come out with a pipe and a tamp and tobacco and a box.
He's converted you.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Well, that was about close to graduation, maybe like a couple of months out, and I needed a job. Went in there for the first time. He said he needed help, so I sent him an email that night. Well, I still hadn't told my family that I smoked a pipe.
Oh, okay.
Right, which is kind of a big deal for a college student. You know, you probably need to go
especially
ahead and
at Mississippi
that.
College, Baptist
right,
University.
Southern Baptist background. Yeah. Right. Yeah, St. Linda. I didn't know how she was going to feel about it. So I go home. I'd already gotten word back from John David that I was probably going to get the job at the country squire. And so I'm like, well, I really need to break this to him since I'm going to be a tobacconist.
Right.
So I go home, kind of feel the waters, and I'm like, well, yeah, I got a job. Oh, really? Where'd you get a job? With the country squire? Well, what's that? Tobacconist. Why on earth are you working on tobacco? Well, you know, it just so happens that I smoke a pipe. A little silence. Well, can I see it? I'm like, all right, this is going a lot better than expected.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, I showed my parents the wall pipe that I'd got, mm-hmm. A little Leonis Superior kind of thing. And they thought I was kind of cool. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling good about this. So I go to bed that night, expecting to wake up the next morning, just kind of talking about a little more in detail.
Yeah, yeah.
But what happens is I wake up, I go to the kitchen, and on the kitchen table, there's this old school pipe rack and tobacco jar.
Oh, wow.
That can hold four pipes and like a half pound. It can hold a half pound of tobacco.
Yeah, like one of those glass jars.
Yeah, one of those really nice jars that you can like twist the top off and everything, really keep it sealed. And there was a pipe on the stand that my dad had bought when he was in grad school, and he bought it from the country squire.
Oh, dude.
In 1975.
That's awesome.
Right, and I actually brought it with me.
Oh, yeah, I want to see this,
man. Yeah, because I wanted you to see it. Because like, it's just a classic Stanwell shape that's really seen some love.
Dude, this, yeah, you're not lying. The bit here, the stem is pretty well chewed on.
Right, it is.
But man, really really nice. The top bowl is really rusticated and just really just beautiful.
Yeah, and it's that classic Stanwell shape, just that nice little bend to it.
Is that? Do you know if that's a Volkite stem or because it's brown?
It is. I don't know if that's just because of wear and tear and age. Yeah. I really haven't checked on it.
That's so cool.
It's really
man.
Hard to tell since half of it's like chewed off.
Yeah.
But
it's beautiful. I'll hold it up too for any that are watching on the live show. You can see that. That's it's beautiful.
My dad gave me that. I didn't even know that he smoked.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't any time that, you know, in my life. And so I was really excited about that. Took all of it to school, you know, displayed my two pipes because now I was like king of our hallway.
Yeah.
So now I'm thinking I really know
you're
what
legit
I'm doing,
now,
even though
yeah.
we knew nothing. And, you know, that's going to be a family thing.
Right.
You know, like if I have a son, regardless if they smoke or not, like he's getting that pipe.
Sure. Yeah, it's an heirloom.
I'm
going to
hope it goes on.
Absolutely. And,
that was a good day.
That's a really awesome story too. Because I mean, with you know the Southern Baptist upbringing, that kind of go either way,
right?
But you know, I bet more often than not, any of you Southern Baptists out there who enjoy your pipe, you might want to go ahead and share that with your family because you never know you might be part of a legacy you're not aware of.
Yeah, and they support the shop, wholeheartedly.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, now, especially that they know the atmosphere and what the shop's going for.
Yeah.
You know, they love it. My dad, every time I go home, he asks me how the stogie business is doing. and it's just so much fun.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, that's beautiful. I had a pipe story that I was going to share, but then to my surprise, my wife actually wrote into the show and okay. To share a pipe story. And so I'm actually going to read that one instead. This is from Christina, my wife. I would like to share a story for next week's episode. My husband and I saved and planned and anticipated a trip to Italy over our first 5 years of marriage. Our plans finally came together and we kept talking about the pipe that would be perfect to bring along with us. I gave him the pipe for that year for Christmas, and when we went to Florence, I thought he would pull it out immediately at the train station and start smoking it. He didn't. He kept it in a pouch and waited. One afternoon, we took the bus from Florence to Fiesole to hike Mount Circeri, which is otherwise known as Da Vinci's Mountain, and it was from here he finally sat on a boulder, pulled out his pipe, and savored the moment. The image will be held dear in my mind forever.
Dude, you wiped a good one.
I'm telling you. It was a, you know, I really wanted a, I wanted a kind of a, how do you put it? So it's like a straight billiard, but instead of a billiard stem, it's a saddle bit stem.
Okay.
With, you know, and I was looking for something with some rustication on it, but I really wanted kind of a, it would have been my first really kind of dark black pipe where okay. the stem was black, the bowl was by, with
keeping it classy.
Yeah, yeah, just something like that classic look. But then I found one that was exactly the right size, exactly the right shape. It wasn't black. It was brown. It was just a brown briar. It did have some rustication, not quite what I was looking for. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's it.
Right.
That's my Italy pipe. Yeah. And I mean, it was, you know, it's Italian briar as well. And the pipe was carved in Italy. I can't recall off the top of my head who the manufacturer was. But I mean, I saw it and I was like, that's the pipe I want to take to Italy. And so I'd been hunting around for it, saw it. Didn't quite have the money to get it at that point. Shared it with my wife, and she surprised me, bought it.
Wow.
And yeah, so I had it tucked away. I think it was almost a year that we had that particular pipe ready to go before we actually made it to Italy. I never smoked it up until we climbed that mountain. And
saving it for the right moment.
Dude, and it really was. It was so perfect. If you ever get a chance to go to Florence and hike around there, this mountain that she's talking about, Da Vinci's Mountain, is just really, really beautiful. There's all these different trails that you can go through, and it's just gorgeous, gorgeous. So that's my pipe story. I can't wait to pass that one along to my kids as well. We had this one come in from Lane Thompson. Now, Lane is he's the professor from Greenwood. He wrote a couple episodes ago. He wrote, as any professor would, he wrote quite the essay. Too.
A thesis?
Yeah, a thesis. So I'm going to read that to you. I love smoking my pipe. It's one of the best things ever. My own pipe memory is that of an old gentleman who smoked a pipe in a small community in which I grew up. He was the only man I ever knew as a child who smoked a pipe, and therefore caught my attention due to the distinction. I never forgot the smell coming from his pipe. To this day, when I light my own bowl, I think of the gentleman and his pipe. I bought my first pipe as a freshman at Ole Miss, and still hold the old-fashioned opinion that every young man needs to buy his first pipe and tobacco as a college freshman. Just like you.
I'm not a college freshman. Okay. I was like college junior. I was a late bloomer.
All of us at MC were right.
There you go.
It should be a rite of passage. My first pipe was a Billiard Bushokin, and I still have it to this day and continue smoking it each week. You've been talking recently about estate pipes and the stories they tell. Well, I've been thinking that pipes may very well be like grandmother's cast iron skillet. My wife is a chef. When I informed her that part of my inheritance when my mother passed away is my great-grandmother's cast iron skillet, my wife beamed with delight. You see, cast iron takes on certain properties of the food that is prepared in it over a long period of time. In essence, no pun intended, it will eventually become the seasoning tool of its own. I wonder if pipes aren't the same way. Those things have got some intense flavors in them over the years of tobacco being smoked in them. Something to think about. And yeah, you know, Lane, that's absolutely the case. In fact, some people will very specifically only smoke a certain type of tobacco in a certain pipe they have to kind of maintain that flavor. You know, I kind of mix it up a little bit personally. It depends on the pipe. Pipe pagan, I like that. With certain pipes that I primarily smoke aromatic, which are most of them, I will kind of mix them up a little bit. The only difference is with that Blue Ribbon, it's got such a distinct taste that
that'll stain quickly.
Yeah, that'll be careful with that. Mess up other tobaccos, but it's delicious on its own.
I think the comparison to the cast iron skillet's dead on.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. He also shared with us a really awesome article, which I'm going to put up on the Facebook page later on this week, so definitely be looking for that. But yeah, y'all, and always, you know, you can always send in your pipe stories. We love to hear from you guys, and you know, which of your pipes are your favorite. Maybe you didn't get a chance to send an email or your thoughts this week. Send them in, and just kind of over time, we'll incorporate that into our listener feedback.
We'll bring it to the shop. We definitely want to hear it and talk to you about it. We love that.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And you know, when that happens, be sure to take some photographs too, and we'll put it up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That would definitely be cool. So those are our stories, and we love telling stories, but we love reading stories too.
Absolutely.
And you've actually got a story for us today.
Okay, well, I'm a big biography guy.
Yeah, oh yeah, okay. That's right.
Last time I recommended a book about Nikola Tesla.
Yeah, dude, you like really turned me on to that guy. Dude, like that dude's awesome.
I hope everybody read that book and they're educating their kids to be against Edison. we're going to change public education with this. That's what's going to happen. But right.
Yeah, no small goal.
Yeah, no small goal. Never. So that was my recommendation last time. To keep it kind of in the same realm, real life biographies, real life people. Right now I'm reading a book called Sinatra, The Voice.
Frank the Voice.
That's it.
Okay. So Frank the Voice Frank by the James Voice. Kaplan.
That's it. Okay. This is Sinatra's entire life, from before his birth with the lives of his parents to death. It's like 800 pages of Sinatra.
Yeah.
And I'm working through it right now. I'm super excited about it. And it mentions his pipe smoking within like the first 20 pages.
Oh, that's awesome.
You can't beat that. turns out the only reason that he smoked a pipe was because Bing Crosby smoked a pipe.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to be like Bing Crosby. And so he was like, well, to do that, I have to smoke a pipe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, he had one of the most interesting lives. You know, Jay-Z, the modern day, I think Jay-Z even has referred to himself as the modern day Sinatra.
Yeah, he does that often.
You know, you can't claim it unless it's true. It's kind of true for Jay-Z.
You feeling it?
Dude, Sinatra was connected on every single level, from politics to just street, everything. Mm-hmm. Sinatra was, you know, a movie star, a musician, just a, you know, a businessman. He was a really just well-connected, all over the place kind of guy. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't his son get kidnapped at one point?
Haven't made it that far yet.
Oh, sorry. I don't want to. No spoilers.
Yeah, seriously. You ruined it for me.
No spoilers. Well, I won't tell you how that ends. Yeah.
But you're definitely all right. He's connected on all types of levels. And one thing that I found really interesting about him is that when he was younger, he had a really hard time making friends.
Is that right?
Yeah. He has a really big scar on the right side of his face. And so if you look at a lot of pictures, any picture that he just, you know, had any say in, that part of his face is away from the camera. But it kind of disfigured him as a younger kid. He wore nice clothes. He sang. He was just seen as kind of a Nancy boy.
Sure, sure. And he's a nerd.
Yeah, as sorts. But his mom, who, you know, had mob ties and she was a really strong woman.
Right.
She like paid people to be his friend. And she was like, no, Frankie needs friends and your son's going to be his friend.
You're kidding me.
No, yeah. And other boys would start bands and stuff, and she would find their way to their parents and be like, no, Frankie's going to be in the band.
Oh, man.
Right. And so that's how he got his big hit, was because his mom was like, no, you're going to let my son sing with your children.
Oh, wow.
And it worked out well for all of them. Yeah, so anybody out there, you could be the next big Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. If somebody's mom is trying to strong arm you to get their kid in your band, it might pay off.
You may take a chance. And it's just so funny to me because when you think of Frank Sinatra, you think of debonair and in control of the situation, ladies' man. But it took a long time to get there.
Oh, yeah.
And I just love that. The pipe helped.
Oh, absolutely.
One scar, hard to disguise, though frequently airbrushed, ran diagonally from the lower left corner of his mouth to his jawline. His ear on that side had a bifurcated lobe, the classic cauliflower. But that was the least of it. The delicate ridges and planes of his left outer ear were mashed, giving the appearance, in early pictures, of an apricot run over by a steamroller. The only connection between the sonic world and the external auditory meatus, the ear hole, was a vertical slit.
So the book is called Frank the Voice, and it's by James Kaplan. Mm-hmm. You can get it from Audible as part of a free trial. You know, Audible's a great service. If you sign up with them, you get 30 days absolutely free of their service. Every single month, you get a free book with them, which is really, mm-hmm. really great. All you have to do, go to audibletrial.com/CSR, sign up for that trial, and even if you decide not to stick around with the service, you still get to keep that initial free book. So really awesome. Check them out. And we thank you for doing so.
You can't beat that deal.
Not at all.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, quick fire questions with the intern.
Let's go.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. So as we're going to continue the theme that we've got going on here, where every single quick fire question comes with, you know, they're all kind of connected.
Okay.
So this week, it looks like the connecting tissue is exotic or bizarre pets.
Okay. I'm all excited. Right?
Lion or tiger?
Lion.
Okay. Really? Lion?
Yeah. I'm really hesitant about that answer.
Yeah.
And the only reason I answered as fast as I did was because of the social pressures of this show.
Okay.
I regret that answer immediately. I don't know.
Oh, beautiful. We have our first ever retraction with the quick fire with the squire. All right. So yeah, I'm going to go tiger as well. Peacock or turkey?
Peacock.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Dude, peacocks are actually not an expensive animal to get either.
How do you know that?
So, okay, well, we looked at possibly getting a peacock at one point.
You've Googled this.
Yeah, we considered, you know, we got the dog, but we considered what kind of was an out there pet. And a peacock came up. When I was a kid at the zoo, they used to have peacocks that, like, ran around. I don't know if they still do that.
Yeah, they still do that. That's
okay.
A thing.
And so I looked into it, and they're actually relatively cheap. Like, I think it's cheaper to get a peacock than it is a dog. Yeah.
That's shenanigans.
No, I'm being dead serious. Like, either you can get an egg or you can get a baby peacock, and they have to, like, you know.
You can get an egg?
Yeah, you can get a peacock egg.
That's so frightening.
The thing is, they're great for defense because they, like, squawk whenever anybody comes up near your property. Yeah. But they also squawk all the time, and they're really, really loud.
Well, nobody wants to mess with the guy who has a peacock. They may have a tiger in the house as well.
Oh, that's great. All right, elephant or giraffe?
Elephant.
All right. Eagle or hawk?
Eagle. America.
Really? I feel like you could train a hawk better.
You could probably train a hawk better. But see, people have hawks, right? Yeah. Like, that's a thing.
I see what you're saying.
How many people have eagles? Because I'm thinking, like, American bald eagle, making a statement, flag in the front yard kind of thing.
I think it's probably illegal to own one, too.
Probably.
And then tying it all together here fictionally, giant spider or tiny T-Rex?
Tiny T-Rex.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to go with you on that.
Yeah, how tiny are we talking?
Desk size? Or, like, he could like, crawl around on your desk?
Oh, hands down, tiny T-Rex.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. He'd bite you, though, right? Like,
and the giant spider?
All right, fair enough. Well, good deal. Well, you can send in your quickfire questions to the show. The email address, csr@podastery.com. csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback this week comes from iTunes. First one comes from Robert Forbes on iTunes. He writes in, says, I enjoy the episode. Wonder if you could do the same kind of thing with Pipe Club Spotlights. You know, what Robert actually was referring to specifically is we did we called it a shop talk, where we actually did a quick talk with one of the shop owners in a shop in Memphis while I was in town there.
Yeah.
And, you know, from time to time, we're going to do that kind of thing. But I love this idea. I think this is such a great suggestion. I think that, Robert, absolutely. What I would like to do, and I'm going to go ahead and put the call out here, and I'll remind it as kind of we go in future episodes as well. But if you're a member of a pipe club and you would like us to kind of interview you and give you a chance to promote your local pipe club, email the show and we'll set up a time and kind of do that relatively quickly. It'd probably be about 5-6 minutes, and we just release it as a little additional shop talk like that. But it would be specifically about your local pipe club. So we definitely want to help support all of those throughout the country and even around the world too. You know, if you've got one in your country and you want to kind of promote it a little bit here on the show, love to do that for you.
Very much so. I would love that. PyLawrence122 from iTunes writes in and he says that he tunes in every week, that he thinks it's a great show. I agree.
PyLawrence, we appreciate that, man.
Absolutely.
You know, we love getting this kind of feedback. iTunes is the best place to do it. If you head on over to iTunes, review the show, write us a little bit of a review, tell us what you think, how you think we're doing. The more reviews we get into iTunes, the more it helps their analytics and helps kind of rise us to the top, which is really good.
There are other pipe shows on the internet?
There are other pipe shows on the internet. They all, you know, and they're all great and they're all wonderful. They each have their own little niche. And, you know, I think that we do something a little bit special here and hopefully y'all agree. And if you do agree, head on over to iTunes, write us a review. We greatly appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Man, Tim, I really appreciate you coming in today.
Oh, anytime, Bo.
And,
absolutely.
Where can the good people follow you and find out what's going on in your life?
you can come to the shop, which is the best case.
Of course.
Now, if we're talking like social media, in recent history, I'm trying to become a Twitter celebrity.
Okay.
So that's the way that I would pick. It's, you can follow me at One Christian Guy.
At One Christian Guy.
Absolutely.
You're the guy. You're the one.
I am the one Christian guy.
On Twitter.
Yes. Yeah, I snagged that name.
Nice. That was good.
But yeah, so you can help me out and learn a little bit of my life.
So at One Christian Guy on Twitter, I am at The Real Bo York.
The only Bo York.
That's right. Well, now there's a ton of Bo Yorks. I'm the only real Bo York.
Yeah. A little check mark next to
it. Well, we're working on that. The Bo is spelled B-E-A-U. And, of course, you can follow the shop at _ Country Squire. Mm. And, of course, the show now has its own Twitter account, at Squire Radio. Love getting those tweets in from you guys and seeing when you're talking about the show. Really, really fun to see what y'all are saying. And we love that. So that's awesome. You can email the show, csr@podastery.com. Podastery, of course, is our home online, www.podastery.com. Check out us and all of our sister shows there. In fact, I say sister intentionally. We've got a show there called Garden Brew. Starting in 2 weeks, it's got a new lineup of hosts, two ladies coming to Podastery to diversify our talents, our voices here. So I'm really excited about that.
That's always good.
Yeah, yeah. We've got like six different guys on the mic here at Podastery, and so we've got some ladies coming in and legitimizing us a little bit across the board.
That's always a strong decision.
Absolutely. So Garden Brew is the name of that show. If you're into gardening or you like good food and or anything about that, I mean, who doesn't? So check that out and hope you enjoy it. All right. Well, man, that's us. That's our show. Tim, wonderful. Man, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Like I said, anytime, bro.
Awesome.
A member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.